Welcome and thank you for joining Dr. Tim Franklin with sermons from Wednesday at Freedom Christian Center in Melbourne, Florida. For more information about Freedom Christian Center, visit us on the web at houseoffreedom.org.
I don't know whether to teach on the double portion or to teach on the joy of the Holy Spirit. Double portion? Holy Spirit. Oh, wow. That was Holy Spirit it's going to be then. That's all right. Now I got a sermon in the pocket to preach. Let's go to Romans 14, 17. Romans 14, 17. I want to talk about the joy in the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Romans 14 and 17 says from the New Living Translation. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Your Bible might read, if it's New King James, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, I can't think of one of the more happier days of my life than the day that I got saved. You know, I'd been running from God for a while. So when I got saved, I quit running. I quit hiding. It is like, who sang that song? My chains fell off. Yes. You smiled naturally on that day. You know, you didn't have to force a smile. It just, from the inside out, it just kind of, you can't hold it down. It just wanted out. Happy in God. That was an incredible day. But the next neatest day in my life was the day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was an incredibly happy, joyful day. And as believers, we need to remember who's alive on our insides, because that will bring you comfort and it'll bring you encouragement to know that God Himself has chosen to live on your inside. 2 Corinthians 3:17, another passage of Scripture that's popular, famous. It's foundational to the house of freedom. For 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'll say it again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Anybody in here got God on their insides? And you should be walking in liberty. Liberty should be yours. If you think about being in bondage, chances are you're gonna be walking in bondage. You're gonna be walking under that burden, the oppression of bondage. If you think about walking and being led in the Spirit, then there's a liberty and there's a freedom in that. I spent some time today talking with a young lady whose life was, in my description, was a squirrel. Just going round and round and round. The more she talked, I started to feel like I got in the swirl. I just had to say, time out. Let's change our talk now. Let me talk to you. I don't want to listen to any more of this. Let me speak. I said, you got to rest. He said, well, I'm quoting the Scripture and I'm memorizing the Word. I'm going, stop it. Just rest. Put your life on pause for a moment. Because, she said, the Word says, be still and know that I am God. Do it. See, be still means you got to stop. To enter into the rest of God means to be still. It doesn't mean cease all activity. I can be busy about my business and be in the place of rest. My soul would be still. But when your head's in the swirl, you're not still. Even if you're sitting still, even if you're not doing nothing, if your head's in a swirl, you are not still. Be still and know that I'm God. When you are in that Scripture, when that Scripture is living in you, you are at rest. You're at rest. In Haiti, we're on the soccer, inside the soccer field, stadium, whatever they call that thing. All the shooting gangs going on around the outside. I'm telling you, I was at peace. The whole team was at peace. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in here. We chose to rest. We chose to trust God. When you choose to trust God, you step into a place of peace. You step into a place of peace, you're resting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's nothing like liberty. It says we're talking about being free. So the joy of being filled with the Spirit. So let's ask ourselves this question. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? What's it mean to be Spirit-filled? It means to be filled with God. It means to be filled with God's Spirit. Just like Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. When you got born again, you were sealed with the Spirit. I always use that motion because I think of a rubber stamp or one of those wax stamps. You know, you pour a little wax. You get sealed with the Holy Spirit. In other words, God takes His Spirit, puts it right there. I don't know where it goes. That's just me. I said, boom. I just want everybody to see it. Boom. Sealed by the Spirit. Devil comes by, goes, whoa, watch that one. He'd been sealed by the Spirit. See, Holy Spirit's right there. Then when you get filled with the Spirit, it's like, whoa, your entire vessel, body, soul, and spirit get inhabited by God. Think about that now. God in your spirit, you're born again. God in your soul, your thought, your mind, your emotions, your will. God in your flesh, God living in me. So coronavirus says, I won't come get you. You say, well, come on. I'm filled with God. But we got to think on that. We have to remember what's on our inside, because remember, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And the only way he can do that is to steal the word away from you. Mark chapter 4, the sower sowed the word. The devil came immediately where the word was on the path, the hard place of the heart, wasn't getting down into the heart. There he stole it away immediately. He's always going to be trying to steal the word from you. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that you have been filled with God. It means that you want all of God and you choose to let God be fully manifested in you. So to be filled with the Spirit means that God is living in you. God has chosen to inhabit your vessel, your physical vessel. And it also means that you hunger for God, that you want more of God, and you choose to let God be fully manifested in you. It's kind of what Andreas ministered on in his first two messages about dying to self. That's saying, I'm choosing to not live for me, but to live for God. I'm choosing to let God occupy this space so that He can work through me. So when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are inhabited by God, and every day we get up, we're choosing to let God flow through us. When somebody says something or does something to offend you, we choose not to be offended, right? It's because God lives in us, and I've never yet been able to offend a dead man. You know, he just has no response. He'd be Christ-like. I am dead. God lives in me. So when offenses come, God comes out. That's called the life of God, pushing out all the world, pushing the world out of me. I can walk in the world and not be a part of its swirl. I can walk in peace. So to be filled with the Spirit means God occupies your space. Remind yourself of that. I am God-filled. Holy Spirit occupies me, spirit, soul, and body. It also means that I want everything that God has for me, and I want Him to be fully manifested in me. Jeremiah 31 and 31, God says, I will write my law upon your hearts. I'll write my law upon your hearts. Ezekiel 36, 27, I'll put my spirit in you. I'll write my law on your hearts instead of on stone. I'm going to put it in your heart. And I will put my spirit in you. God so longed to do that for so long, put His Spirit in His people. I mean, what a privilege for us to be carriers of the divine Spirit. You know, That's what makes us a supernatural people. That's what brings healing into the broken places of our lives, the broken places of our past. We let God get in there and we say, it's yours. See, some things that get done to us create rejection, it creates fear, and a whole other list of other emotions. But when we let God have that memory, go back to that spot and heal our hearts, rejection cannot stay. Fear cannot stay. It has to go. So we want God inhabiting us, spirit, soul, and body. So your spirit man gets born again. It's a new creation. There's nothing old about that. It's brand new in Christ, in God. But I still have the same old brain. Same old brain that had old patterns and old thoughts. And so I need the Holy Spirit to come and bring healing to my thoughts, bring healing to my memories, to my life experiences, so that where fear ruled from a past failure or a past attack of the enemy, suddenly faith arises in that place, from out of that place, and says, no more. See, you might be saying, well, you know, I'm just a failure in life. I'm no good. I'm never going to amount to anything. God says, no, you're my child. I don't create failures. Amen. Nothing's impossible with me. All things are possible for those who believe. Come on, Tim, let's get it together. Believe. You are who I say you are. I am. Yeah, we sing it, I am who you say I am, right? Did I get it right? I am who you say I am. Oh, it's all right. Yeah, okay. So the word spirit in the Greek, we know it to be pneuma, from which we get the word pneumonia or pneumatic. It means has to do with breath or wind. The Hebrew word ruach, got to clear your throat when you say that, ruach. It too means breath or wind. So in Genesis, what we see happening is God forms man out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathes into him, ruach. The very spirit of God gets breathed into that which was dirt. And man became a living being. From the very get-go, the breath of God filled us. God has intended all the days of our lives that we be filled with His holy breath, His Holy Spirit. It's one of my favorite prayers. Breathe, O breath of God. There are times when I pray that I can honestly say this. I feel the tangible presence of God like a wind. Not like, you know, 50-mile-an-hour wind. It's just like somebody walking by. Now, if you close your eyes. If you close your eyes and somebody walks by you, you feel it. It's not a big wind. It's just like this breath. It's just like a breath. Breathe, oh breath of God. Breathe on me. Breathe on my church. Breathe on my county. Breathe on my state. Breathe on my nation, God. See, He's bigger than me. He's bigger than us. He's bigger than Florida. Breathe, oh breath of God. You who spoke the world into existence, breathe on me. See what I'm saying? Breathe. I can't speak without breath moving. You can't talk by inhaling. Try it. It ain't going to happen. You speak by exhaling. Breath comes out of you. So I say, breathe, O breath of God. What are we saying? Speak to me. May your presence fill me. Breathe, O breath of God. Worship has to do with the closeness of the breath of God, the intimacy of the breath of God. Breathe on me, O breath of God. I like cuddling up to my wife really close. She's not even paying attention to this. She's listening. But I like getting so close, I can feel her breath on my cheek. Breathe, O breath of God. Breathe. Let's all just say that right now. Breathe, O breath of God. Breathe on me. Breathe on my finances. Breathe, O breath of God. Breathe on my family. Breathe, O breath of God. See, when you pray those prayers, you're saying, speak. Speak to my family. In my family, you may have lost family members. You may have backslidden. You may have spirit-filled, holy family members. The prayer is still the same. Speak. Because it's the voice of God that causes the heart to shudder before His presence. I love Psalm 29. Your voice is like thunder over the waters. The first time I ever heard, saw lightning and heard the thunder roll down the Indian River. Have you experienced that? You've never experienced thunder on the river? You follow the weatherman. You stay away when it's lightning. When lightning strikes close to or out there in the river, it kabang, and it just rolls forever. I'm like, oh, wow. That's like, when I hear that, I go, that's the voice of God. David could only find expression. God's voice is like thunder over the waters. I'm like, that's what he was talking about right there. Shatters the cedars of Lebanon. Twists the mighty oaks. And at the end he says, and it causes the deer to give birth. So you go from these crashing, booming, thundering sounds to the tenderness and the stillness of the solitude of a deer giving birth. The breath. Breathe, O breath of God. Breathe on me. Breathe on my business. Breathe on my family. Breathe on my church. When I pray that prayer, I'm looking for the voice of God. I'm listening for the voice of God. See, that's the joy of having the Spirit of God on your insides. I was sharing with Kelly and a few others last night. I've just been in such a sweet prophetic place with God. It's really, really been fun. It's just been fun. And it's not like, you know, I've got revelation of what's going down in the world. I'm just getting revelation when I walk by people. It's just being able to encourage them, inspire hope, have words of knowledge, and see God work. I mean, this is the beauty of this. So what does it mean to be Spirit-filled? It means to be filled with the breath of God. It means to be filled with the Word of God. My words are spirit and they are life. What did Adam become when God breathed on him? Alive. God's breath entered what he had formed out of the dust of the earth, and it became a living being. Jesus in John 6:63 says, my words are spirit and they are life. He breathes life into us with His Word. That's why I say, breathe, O breath of God. You have to speak to breathe that, or you have to get close enough to... Either way, I'll take it if it's coming from God. I'm encouraged. John the Baptist in Matthew 3:11 said, he told of one Jesus who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the holy breath and fire. Paul in Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the breath of God. In 3:19, Paul desires that we be filled with the fullness of God. Be filled with the fullness of God. 2 Corinthians 3:6, that the Spirit gives life. He gives life because the veil has been lifted. It's been torn. That was an exciting day for the church, the early church, when they saw the temple curtain torn from top to bottom, and they suddenly started putting the pieces together. This is a sign. Here's your sign. The veil has been torn. You can now come in by the blood of Jesus. No priest, You don't have to go get anybody. You just come right in yourself. By faith, you walk right in because the veil has been torn. There's liberty and freedom. You could not come before. You couldn't come before that veil had been torn. But the veil was torn. The law was torn. Now you come by faith freely into the presence of God. Where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. What's Lord of your life? Who's Lord of your life? Where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. There's freedom. When we walk in the Spirit, there is freedom. There is no need for the law, Paul said in Romans 6. There's no need for the law for those who follow after the Spirit, who walk in the Spirit. The law is for lawbreakers. But for those who follow, are led by the Spirit, they're going to naturally, from their heart, do what is righteous and do what is right. And there's a freedom in that. You're not looking over your shoulder. There's a freedom in that. So there's joy. Number two, the joy of being Spirit-led. Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you walk in freedom. Those are two powerful things. I'll never forget the illustration I used up here at some point in the last few years with the skateboard. Remember that? I had somebody's hand and I was dragging him around the sanctuary. You know, I was moving him. And I said, now, are they being led or are they following? Or no, I asked if they're being led. And everybody goes, yeah, they're being led. I'm like, no, they're following. Because they had to walk to follow me. But when I put them on the skateboard, took their hand, now they're being led. God wants to lead us. Those who are led by the Spirit are not under the law. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead us into bondage. Holy Spirit will always lead us out of bondage. Holy Spirit will always lead us out of sickness and disease. The Holy Spirit will always lead us out of oppression. Why? Because He's all about freedom. Sickness keeps you in bondage. Ought not this daughter of Abraham be made whole? She's been in bondage. It's a Sabbath. We don't heal on the Sabbath, Jesus. Oh, forget you guys. God says, this woman needs to be made well. The sickness has had her in bondage like chains. God doesn't want her children like that. Y'all okay? If you're led by the Spirit, you walk in freedom. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines liberty or freedom as this: a state of exemption from the power or control of another. State of exemption from the power or the control of another. Liberty, exemption from slavery. Exemption from slavery, servitude, or confinement. Freedom is personal, civil, political, and religious. That's Webster's, 1828. A state of exemption. Somebody said that President Trump's throwing around the idea of not having, what is it, any personal income tax for 2020? So, okay. Exemption. He said take away FICA, Social Security tax. He wants to take away part of that tax for this year till we get through all this mess we're in right now. Exemption. I don't know about you, but I like exemptions on my tax form. Take all of them I can get. Exemption. Freedom! If they take all them taxes away, I'd be really, really glad. Exemption. Exemption from confinement. Exemption from imprisonment. That's freedom. Sickness puts you in bondage. Oppressions of the mind put you in bondage. Financial pressures put you in bondage. Help us, Jesus. So in John 3, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as wind, talking about the joy of being led by the Spirit. Remember, Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Jesus begins to explain who he is to Nicodemus. He says, Nick, you must be born again. What do you mean, be born again? Will I enter into my mother's womb? That just makes you want to grab the old man by the beard and go, no. Jesus is like, Nick, how is it that you are a religious leader and you do not understand this? And he says, the Holy Spirit is like wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. But you definitely know when it's there. The Holy Spirit brings joy. And when we're Spirit-led, that's what we experience in our life. We experience the presence of God filling us, the presence of God leading us. And sometimes it takes a while. You say, well, I don't know what it feels like to be led by the Lord. I don't know what that's like. Well, here's what you do. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. You position yourself to begin to experience. Now, as a little kid, I can always remember my grandma. My grandma taught me a lot of things I didn't want to learn. But one of the things she taught me was, this room is drafty. I'm like, drafty? There's a draft in here. I'm like, I could never figure out what she was talking about. She said, there's a draft in here. I mean, I could be barefooted, shirtless. There's a draft in this room. I'm like, where? He said, that old window's drafty. I go stand by the window, hoping to feel the draft. I could never feel anything as a kid. Drafty. Now that I'm older, I can feel the drafts. I can tell when the AC kicks on. I can feel if a window's cracked and there's warm air coming in or cold air coming in. See, when you're being led by the Spirit, you have to discern His presence. And if He's like wind or He's like breath, most often when you begin to discern, you hear things. I was watching, I'm off of the bunny trail. I hope you're being encouraged. When I was in Zambia last year for AMT, Advanced Missions Training, we were worshiping, and I got a picture of Madagascar, and I saw two big old angels, like way huge angels over Madagascar. And so I leaned down to Phil, because I was up front, and I said, I'm getting this picture because I'm learning how to work with their organization, and I don't know what all they believe. But they believe pretty much like me, or I believe pretty much like them. So he said, yeah, go ahead and share. So I shared, I just keep getting this picture of Madagascar, and I feel like somebody's going to be called to Madagascar here. Well, there's a couple there, and they looked at each other. And they're like, that's us. They'd actually been thinking about it. And that's us. So this video I'm watching is Sean Bolts. He's in Orlando at the end of February. And I'm watching him minister, and he says, is there anybody here, a couple here, who feel called to Madagascar? Now, I didn't know that couple was there. I'm watching the video. There's thousands of people in that place. You know, Sean's about that big on the screen. And they stand up. This couple that was in AMT, and I prophesied some things over them. Well, they stand up, and he prophesies to them about going to Madagascar and what God was going to do, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And here's what he said at the end. It's Sean Bolts. He's done prophesying now. He says, he chuckled a little bit. He said, you know how I got that word? I was thinking about my kids, and we were watching the movie Madagascar. And it was a part of the movie. There were two characters in there. So that's where he got, is there a couple who are thinking about Madagascar? How many times have you had simple little words like that you totally walked by and missed God on? Or how many times have you acted, that's probably a better way to say it, how many times have you acted on this little fleeting thought out here that you just thought was nothing, but yet when you spoke it, it was right on? Amen. Breath. Breath of God. We're talking about learning to discern the movement of the Holy Spirit. And you have to practice. You have to take the risks. that when you hear or you see the pictures, you have to give voice to it. And that's how you learn to discern the movement of God in your life. It's beautiful. I'm liking this. I mean, I get through all this. Oh, let's see. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So being led by the Spirit of God automatically declares that we are sons of God. That implies three things. Number one, implies we have a covering. God is our spiritual covering. That's powerful. Number two, it implies that we have relationship. That's huge. Many of who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I have a covering. It's my Heavenly Father. He who dwells in the secret place shall rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Implies we have a relationship. He's my God. I've been telling my grandkids when I get a chance to speak it to them. I said, my Father's God is my God, and my God is your daddy's God. And guess what? Your daddy's God is your God. Relationship. You speak these things out. It implies that we have inheritance. Inheritance. There are things that God has revealed and left for us that we have rights and privileges to as sons of God. So when you're being led by the Spirit, He moves you. He moves you. It could be literally to a new location. It could be get up and go get a drink at the water fountain, and you're not thirsty. You go to the water fountain, and lo and behold, divine appointment. Number three, got to go fast. The joy of making spirit impact. And Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal, to proclaim, and to recover sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So there is joy in being filled with the Spirit. There is joy in being led by the Spirit. And there is joy in making a Holy Spirit impact on somebody else's life. Amen. How can we be oppressed, depressed, and all that? Joy in being filled, joy in being led, joy in making an impact on somebody else's life by the Holy Spirit. You know, I had 3 weeks away from my Padawan, young man I'm discipling because I've been gone. And we met this week. Oh, man, there was so much joy in my heart, so much joy in his heart. And he began to relay the impact that our time together has been having on his life. It's just been a short time, like 4 or 5 months. But the impact has been profound. I'm not the only one sitting in here to do this. Any one of you could be making a commitment to somebody else's life to mentor them, to disciple them. That sounds like work, and sometimes it is, but most of the time it's just being together. It's just being in relation. We're doing a little study, Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. We've been reading through that, like one or two chapters each time we meet. But that's the last thing we do. First thing we do is we talk. We just share hearts, what's going on in each other's life. That leads to questions. And that leads to Holy Spirit moving, impact. There's joy in being filled with the Spirit. There's joy in being led by the Spirit. There is joy in impacting other people's lives. Amen. With the Holy Spirit in you. I want to encourage you to do that. I'll stop there. That's a good place to stop.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Tim Franklin at Freedom Christian Center in Melbourne, Florida. Be sure to visit us at houseoffreedom.org and have a blessed week.